It's quite different, isn't it, when the Sunday school kids are back there? It's nice and quiet. Do I need to say it's good to have you here and to thank you for being here, because I hope you feel it. But most importantly, we talked to the converts last night about the Holy Spirit being in them, and I hope you know, I hope you have experienced the Holy Spirit in your life, because it's Jesus living in us, and it's very real. It's very real. So be prayerful for that. First, that Jesus would be with us this morning, and that his thoughts would inspire us, convict us, encourage us, and we worship him together. So I just love having Brother Scott Schaefer here, Grandpa Scott, his wife Gigi from South Bend, and he's going to preach this morning. And then, you know, we have a baptism today, right? So Scott and I will be baptizing the three converts after the second service today. The second service today, Brother Caleb is going to preach on Luke 19, since the Sunday school teachers will be with us in the afternoon. Okay? So be prayerful, and we look to Brother Scott.
Morning and greetings. It's a good night last night. It was a blessing. Always when we can have three souls that make a choice to give their lives to the Lord. And that's inspiring, should be inspiring to all of us. Because many of us can go back and remember those days when we made that decision in our life, and where we would be today if we had not made that decision. And so I'm thankful that those young men, and it's hard for me to even think of, certainly of Noah and Adrian as young men, because they just seem like yesterday they were just babies. But they're young men. But yet they've chosen at a young age to serve God. And that's a blessing. In the world we live in today, I don't think you find that often. And so we need to rejoice with them and encourage them and walk with them every step of the way, because we need each other. And that's the way God created us, to be a community of believers, to work with each other and encourage each other and help each other along the way. And I thought of last night, just thinking of those young men, there's a couple verses in Isaiah that I just like to. Isaiah 55, if we could just turn there for a little bit. Isaiah 55. And verse 1 begins, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God. for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Some beautiful words from the prophet Isaiah. And that verse of seek ye the Lord while he may be found, I just felt that so powerful in the three testimonies last night, that they all even were called at a young age, and maybe there was some time of stagnation. I believe a couple of them said that things weren't moving. But God was still working with them, and his spirit was still molding them and shaping them and encouraging them. And through that time of stagnation, they were able to come to this knowledge of seeking the Lord while he could be found. And for a little bit, I think that tends to say, Are there times when the Lord's going to be harder to be found? Not because he's hiding, but because we get so wrapped up and so busy and so distracted that we can't find him. And so let's think about that. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. Now, I believe God is always near, because he created us to be in a state of worship and relationship with him 24/7. That's what his desire was, and that's why he created us. And so I believe he's always near. But when it says, call ye upon him while he is near, I believe that within each one of us, we have the ability to have God near to us or to push him away. That's a choice that we make. And we get up in the morning and we can acknowledge him. And the sunrise was so beautiful today. We looked out the back window and there's three does in the backyard. And snow all around. And little Vincent told us, God gave us this snow. God gave me this snow. So at a young age, I want to encourage you, especially you parents, and I know you do, but encouragement is good. We want to hear that. Keep pushing those principles and foundations to your kids so that it just comes out. And it talked about here of joy. I don't know if I can find it. We just read it, but verse 12, for ye shall go out with joy. Ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. All of God's creation is worshiping him. Are we? Are we in a mode and in a state and have a desire to be worshiping Him? We have so much to be thankful for. Let's sing hymn number 5 together. The Praise of God, number 5.
Praise ye the Lord, He is King over all the creation. Praise thou the Lord, O my soul, as the God of salvation. Come and rejoice, lift up your heart and your voice.
Let's join together and pray. Our kind Father in heaven, we are so thankful and joyful that we can gather together today to worship Thee, to sing praises unto Thee, to open Thy Word and read from it and be encouraged by it. We know that they are words of life. We know that they are Thy words that Thou hast given to us to show us the way, to give us guidance and understanding and wisdom from on high, that we, Father, could understand thy heart, because it is within the pages of this Bible that thou hast put these words there and inspired men throughout times of history to write these words so that they could even be for us today. And even though that was written so long ago, it is so prevalent today. It is so important for us today. It is so timely for us today. Because we need thee. And Father, we need to be even more dependent upon thee each and every day. So draw us close. Help us, Father, to seek thee while you may be found. And we pray, Father, that we would not allow the things around us to cloud our way. That we could see thee clearly and focus our eyes and our attention and our thoughts and our desires and our entire lives upon thee. Oh, Father, we pray that we could be obedient servants of thine. That we could find ourselves in a place where we want to know thee, where we want to follow thee, that the things of this earth don't draw us away and don't pull our attention away. Oh, Father, we thank thee. We thank thee so much for Jesus. We thank thee for the plan of salvation. We thank thee for this time of year where we can think about and celebrate this Christmas season, the time when Jesus came as a babe, the God of the universe, the God of all creation, coming to earth with flesh and blood as a baby. And then we read in Isaiah that your thoughts are far above our thoughts. How could it ever be? Oh, Father, we thank thee for all that thou hast done. And we pray, Father, that thy call would continue to go out, that souls, obviously in this church, but in all places, would be able to hear the call, would be able to be sensitive to it, and then respond and turn their lives and follow thee. And even as we heard last night, that these young men, they said that they wanted to make a public commitment and have it be witnessed. That was important to them. It should be important to us that our walk would reflect thy love. So encourage us, Father, each one of us, from the oldest to the youngest, that we could be inspired by thee and thy word, and that we would draw ourselves closer to thee. Father, we thank you for all that thou hast done, for all the blessings of life, for the opportunities we have, even today, in this day, when we can look forward to a baptism of these three young men. What a joy and what a blessing that is, and what a memorable time that should be for them in their lives and for all of us, as it encourages us to see that thy work is still going on. And lives are still being changed. And we can be a part of that. What a blessing that is. Father, encourage us now. And we just pray, Father, that thou would be with us this morning as we look into thy word further and teach us from it and open our hearts and minds to it, that we could receive it and understand it and recall it and use it, and that it could help us to follow thee closer each and every day. So we thank thee now. Forgive us where we fail thee, where we sin, where we fall short. Father, we beg for forgiveness every day because we want to draw close to thee. And we thank thee and we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's turn into St. Luke. And I know we got Christmas. You have a Christmas Eve service. I believe Brother Clint is going to have that. But let's just look at some of the scripture here in chapter 1. And I'm just always impressed with God's plan that he laid out, and even as far back as the Garden of Eden, at the first rebellion, the first sin, he put a plan in place at that point, because he knew that we could never make it. We could never follow him. We could never be good enough. It would never happen. And he saw that, and he put this plan in place. And he knew that someday all of this would happen. And so thousands of years go by, and all of the stories of the Old Testament take place, and all the prophets and all of history came to this place, this time. And God chose this time, and he chose these certain people to play a role in the bringing of his salvation plan to fruition. And some of them here we read about in chapter 1. And there's a priest named Zacharias that is involved. His wife Elizabeth, they have a baby. And then he visits Mary, who's a young teenage girl, and he picks her. And she's espoused to be married to a man named Joseph. They're from Nazareth. And I mean, if you begin to just step back away from the familiarity of the story and the words, and really kind of let it sink in that these were just ordinary folks, ordinary people like you and I, that God chose to make his plan happen. And he did it in a magnificent way, in perfect order. And he used his angels to even help deliver the messages and to prepare them for their role in this whole story, this whole event that was unfolding. And so let's read a few verses. I don't quite even know where to go or what to focus on here, but we read about Zacharias in chapter 1. Just turn to chapter 1 and let's look about verse 5 there, and we'll read a few verses there. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am old, an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Stop there. And let's just go back and look at that a little bit. So Zacharias is a priest, and his rotation through this burning of the incense at the temple at that time was not something that was not that his turn didn't come up every Sunday. Like these brothers here, they may preach every Sunday or every other Sunday. That wasn't the way that was. That rotated through a whole host of priests, and it happened to be his turn at this time to burn this incense. And God chose that time with him to send his angel. And we read about angels in the Bible at different times and how God used them. And in fact, the last time that we hear about Gabriel was when he visited Daniel, hundreds of years before. And I think there's only three angels that are named in the scripture. One is Gabriel, one is Michael, and the other was Lucifer. Those are the only three names of angels that I know of in there. But he used Gabriel, and you know, we don't understand angels, I guess, very well. Someday we will. We get glimpses of them throughout Scripture and how God uses them. It seems like they don't age, because hundreds of years before, Gabriel was just as vibrant and just as quick and speedy and devoted to his God as he was in this time. So they don't seem to age. We don't really understand them, but they're here and they're around, and they were then. And then we read in Luke 2, you can read further into Luke 2, and we read about Gabriel again, and we read about this heavenly host and a multitude of the heavenly host. So we don't even know how many angels there are. There's just a lot of them. And so I believe that they're all around us. They're watching over us. They're speaking. They're interceding. They're intervening. They're there and around. And here's Gabriel, and he comes before Zacharias in the Holy of Holies as he's burning incense. And here this angel appears and talks to him. And the angel says to him, and it just blows me away, verse 19, he says, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God. And that's the other thing we know about angels. They stand in the presence of God. And they are at God's beckoning call to do his service wherever that is, whatever he asks them to do. And Gabriel goes here and he says, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto you, Zacharias. God sent me to speak directly to you, and to show you what's coming. And you know, Zacharias didn't quite believe what he was seeing. He didn't believe what he was hearing. And The angel said, because of that, you're going to not be able to speak. And for a priest, that's not a good thing. He needs to be able to speak. But for Zacharias, when he couldn't speak, that was evidence to him. That was evidence to him. Yes, it reminded him that he didn't believe right away, but it was evidence to him that God had spoke to him. That this angel Gabriel that God sent came right to him as he was burning incense and spoke directly to him. And he had evidence of it because he could now not speak. And the angel told him that's what would happen. And so we can be encouraged. These are all little details, parts of God's plan. And God is such a God of order that he lays all of this out. And then this same angel, Gabriel, goes to visit Mary, a young teenager. Why her? Why pick her? Why pick Joseph? And we don't understand that. We don't know that. But I want to say this, that I believe that God has chosen each one of you, each one of us, to serve a purpose for him. I don't necessarily know what all of your purposes are, but God does. And he can reveal that to you if we're open to him, if we believe him, if we allow him to work in our lives and in our hearts, just like he did with Zacharias and Elizabeth. And, you know, you can't blame them. They're old. And he would think, well, we can't. We've wanted a baby all these years, but we're too old now. And so they didn't believe it. So this angel comes and visits Mary. And Mary's not married. She's engaged or espoused to be married. And verse 26, the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, there he comes again. God is just using him, and God uses these angels to lay out the plan and to help these people understand. Because think about it, if this just happened to Zacharias and Elizabeth, or this just happened to Mary, a young teenager, she ends up pregnant without anybody ever telling her anything. And she hadn't been with Joseph. I mean, all of that, none of it makes any physical sense. So God had to send this angel to tell her what was going to happen. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And here's where it gets really hard to understand, really hard to buy in, really hard for Mary. Think of it, a young teenager. First of all, to be approached by an angel, and she knew, and I believe she knew that that's what it was, an angel standing before her and speaking to her. And she's trying to understand, why are you coming to me? Why are you addressing me this way? Why are you saying that I'm highly favored among women? What? And then in verse 31, he says, Behold, you're going to conceive in your womb, and you're going to bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. Now, what happened? What happens to a young teenage girl when you get that news, that information? How do you receive that? And so I encourage us to think about, as we read through the Christmas story, as we read through anything through the scripture, that we try to put our our arms around how did these normal folks feel when these amazing things were happening to them? How did they respond? Gabriel says, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Now Mary knew some of this. She understood about David and about the house of Jacob. They're brought up, the young Jewish, they're brought up to know that and to understand that. They were taught that. So some of that she's trying to connect the dots to. Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Now she was not doubting what the angel was saying. She was not doubting the fact that this was going to happen. She was just saying, physically, how can this happen? And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." You know, we talk about the virgin birth, but the miracle of the virgin birth is the virgin conception. That's beyond what we can comprehend and understand, that the Holy Ghost would plant this baby into Mary. And therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. How do you absorb that? How does a 15, I don't know how old, 16-year-old, how would you absorb that information? You've been chosen now to birth the Son of God, to birth God's Son. And as she begins to think through how this is all going to happen, Gabriel says, "And behold," almost by the way, "your cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. That's a response, isn't it? Can we come up with that response? That's what God wants us. That's the response he wants us to have. You know what? We're not going to be called to do what Mary did. We're not going to be called to do what Zacharias and Elizabeth went through. We're not going to be called to do what Joseph went through. But we are called to serve and work in his vineyard. Every one of us have gifts and talents and a purpose to serve him in some special way. And we don't know what that is necessarily at the moment. And they didn't know it. 5 minutes before the angel showed up, they had no idea how their life was going to be changed. And you know, we like to have our lives kind of planned out, don't we? We like to know what's going to happen next week. What's the Christmas week look like? You're all making plans. I can almost be assured of you, though, on this day you're going to go here and you're going to be with this family here and you're going to go here and have this meal and all of that. You got to lay it all out. We like our lives to be somewhat planned out. But yet, we have to be ready and willing that when God calls us at any moment, our life can change from one moment to the next, as it did for some of these people that were involved in this most amazing, miraculous plan. And I think of Joseph And we listened to some Christmas music on the way down. Michael Card, maybe you've heard his Christmas album, but he sings a song. I believe he wrote it too, from through the eyes of Joseph. And he's thinking, Joseph is thinking, how can this be? How am I supposed to raise the Son of God? Think about that. As a father, if that's laid on you, and you all have your own children, you can raise them as if they were. But that was Joseph's call. That was his purpose for the years that he had. Joseph, you're going to raise the Son of God. How can it be? How can I? How can I do this? And you know what? There isn't anything that God will ask of any of us that He won't walk with us every step of the way. And you can read back in Matthew, guess who visited Joseph to tell him what was going to happen? Another angel. And that's how God laid His plan out. And He prepared each one. And God gives us today His Holy Spirit. And that Spirit can speak to us and work with us and talk with us and help prepare us for the role that He has us to play in His plan. This is all His plan from cover to cover here. And even in our own lives, it's His plan. We're a part of that story, a piece of it that we play. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to allow Him to just use us wherever that is? You know, we can doubt. There can be some doubts. Zacharias had some doubts. Mary had some, maybe not doubts, but she just didn't understand how it was going to happen. And Joseph, I'm sure he had some doubts. I'm sure he was insecure. How am I going to do this? And how God laid that all out. And the wise men bringing the treasures and the gold and the frankincense and all that they could use then to make the trip to Egypt. The plan was so well laid out and so perfect that we can rejoice in that because we're recipients of that plan. God put all that together for you and I, for today, for these three that are going to be baptized today. The plan was for them. The plan is for you. The plan is for all mankind. And so let's seek Him. Let's seek Him when He may be found. And call upon Him when He's near.
Didn't you love the images that Scott gave us this morning? He said, are we listening for God's call? And are we looking for God's angels to give the call? And I loved how he mentioned a little cherub and angel. He mentioned how Vincent announced to their family, look everyone, God gave us the snow. And he tied that. And in Isaiah 55, it said that God sends the snow, and Vincent was a little angel that morning. I know some of you who would rather be in Florida in December, you might struggle with that. So that's a point for me and our family. But then he also gave that picture where Elizabeth and Zacharias, and Zacharias was made mute. And Elisa would love that some days. It's definitely a point for Elisa if I would be made mute. But can we be quiet? Can we appreciate the beauty? See the snow as a gift. I think everybody loves the quiet Christmas morning when there's white snow on the ground and it's still and the sunrise is coming up. Can we be quiet? And listen for God's call and look for His angel. to show us what to do. Thanks, Scott.
Angels from the
Let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we couldn't be in a better place today than to be in your house, worshiping you, thanking you for your love, your kindness, your mercy, your grace, your truth, and the joy that you bring us, Lord. In a world that's full of sin and darkness, you are the light of the world. And you brought it to us through your Son, Jesus, that we've been told here again this morning, reminded of this amazing story. We go over it so many times in our life, to the point that we almost take little things for granted, but the detail of your word and the way you work through men and women here on earth to bring forth your plan. And we just thank you, Father, for Jesus. He is our salvation and he is our hope. And we're thankful that you've called us unto you. And we just pray that each day of our life we can live in a way that brings you honor and glory, for you are truly worthy of it. Father, we pray your blessing on this Indianapolis church. We pray for Ken and his leadership and the ministers. We pray for the church family here. We pray that you will bond them together and bind them together through the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit. We're thankful to be here today to celebrate these baptisms. Three young hearts who are dedicated to you. And we just pray that you will fill each one of them with your spirit, your truth, and your love. And let them be a great addition here to the church family. And bless us now as we break for lunch and bless the day ahead. And the season that we have and this special week coming up, we just have so much to be thankful for, even in the midst of a world full of sin. So you are the light of the world. Be the light and let us shed that light and share it as a gift from you. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.